Lord, we come to you this morning, and it's been such a good word, Lord. It's been such a good word. And I thank you, Lord, that we need to learn to hear from God. I wished all the religious leaders would hear from you, Lord, instead of making more plans. Help us to hear from Jesus so that we know what we're doing. We don't need religious uproar, and we don't need religious cosmetics. Lord, we just need to know what you are saying. So help us to be still and know that you are God and listen to you, what you're saying. And I pray you'll surround each home here with your love and protection and health and safety. And just hear the prayers of your people in Jesus' name. Bless your word. Amen. Now we're in Philippians, the third chapter. And Vi already has it. Okay. Philippians 3:7-14. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. But brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Lynn, it's good to see you. Feeling better? Yeah, we're praying for you every day. Now, I like the NIV. Actually, Mark Overton and I have agreed that the New American Standard and the Revised King James are probably better translations. But I get a lot out of the NIV. But every once in a while, they do not do what is right. And they have not done what is right by using the term heavenward. Now notice that. Jump up once so I can see heavenward. Calling me heavenward. Now, Tony, that word in the Greek is not even related to heaven. It's not even related. I think it's ano or something like that. It's not even related to heaven. The idea is that it's a calling from on high. Woost, a famous scholar, calls it, a call from above. Because otherwise we get the feeling here that his goal is heaven. Well, the idea is that the calling comes from on high. It's the same thing when he said, set your affection on things above. He doesn't mean that we're called to heaven. How many can see? Yes, thank you back there for that highlight. Where'd you get this upward? Huh? King James says upward call. That's true to the Greek. That's true to the Greek, that the word heaven doesn't enter in here. But the translators are supposing that we're called to heaven. But don't you see, that wouldn't make sense, because if the Apostle Paul, toward the end of his life, when he was in prison, was still trying to get to heaven, there wouldn't be many people who would go to heaven. So our goal is not heaven. I think in terms of goals. It's just natural to me, and I'm interested here because in this passage, Paul talks about his goal. Now, I can't think of any other passage in the New Testament in which Paul says specifically, this is my goal. He alludes to it in other places, but he comes right out and says, I press toward the goal. Now, it's very important in any enterprise to know what your goal is. If you don't know what your goal is, you're going to waste a lot of time and money fooling around. So when a corporation or any institution brings in a system analyst, the first thing they try to do is figure out, what is the goal? Because people in corporations, let's take any big corporation, Sony, HP, Qualcomm, you name it, the goal very rapidly can become the personal advancement of people, or who's bringing donuts for the coffee break, or should we work 30 hours a week or 40? You get all kinds of things as people are meeting their particular desires. But a system analyst takes every operation in the organization and he adjusts it so that is maximum efficiency and effectiveness in attaining the goal of the corporation. I noticed that when I was in public school work, they were notorious for discussing means. They came up every year with new means to undefined ends. And it drove me absolutely nuts. Teacher, get an idea. What do we do today, kids? Well, let's make kites. No reference to what we're here for. Very common. It's common among people. People ordinarily do not think in terms of goals. They think in terms of their emotions, immediate pressures, expectations of people, all kinds of things. But to think clearly of a goal, I think maybe that's why the man that wrote The Purpose-Driven Life has been so successful. Not that I agree with everything about it, but nonetheless, it has helped many people. And is catch the phrase, purpose-driven? Purpose-driven. In other words, the assumption is that you have a goal and a purpose. That's very important. I think that's why it's been so well received and adopted by various organizations and has done a lot of people good. So when Paul says, I press on toward the goal, we need to know what that goal is. And actually, it's not preached much because in the churches, we also are occupied with means, usually maximizing the number of people that attend the service. That becomes our goal. And that's not the goal. Making everybody happy, that's not the goal. It's not the goal to make people happy. Well, then what is the goal? Well, Paul here tells us what the goal is, but it's kind of hard to understand. And it makes me, not because it's complicated, but because it's unfamiliar. And, Peter said, our brother Paul has written to you certain things that are hard to be understood. Isn't that a funny thing to put in the Bible? Our brother Paul has written to you things hard to be understood. And then it goes on and says, which people rest to their destruction. Very interesting. Our brother Paul writes things hard to figure out. Well, Paul was a scholar. Peter was a fisherman. And so scholars do tend to write things that's hard for fishermen to understand. Peter understood Jesus. He didn't understand Paul. I like that. That's cute. All right. Now, let's look carefully at this. And maybe you could split the difference here at light. So we're looking at about from verse 10 on. That would help my screen here. Yes, that's good. That gives us the whole thing. Now, here, Paul is telling about his goal. And each one of, he goes later in Philippians 3, he says, let everybody have this same goal. I mean, this is the goal. This is the goal for each one of us. And we need to keep it in mind because our life rapidly becomes focused on how we feel or means or various things, and we forget what we're after. Did that ever happen to you? Do you ever forget what you're after? Well, when you get older, you'll find out it becomes increasingly significant. Go to the store to get bread and end up with mayonnaise. Well, he says, I want to know Christ. Now, you would think this man, after churches established, epistles written, being persecuted, you'd think, well, surely this guy knows Christ. Wouldn't you think so? But he says later on, I don't count I'm there yet. So knowing Christ must be quite an endeavor. And the power of his resurrection. Now, we talk about healing. And I'm a great believer in power and the power gifts, miracles, healing. I'm a great believer in that, and we need them. And I hope as many as possible will pray for them because we need evidences of God's power in our assembly. We need that. The kingdom is not in word only. It's in the word and power. And we don't see enough of it, do we? So we need to pray to that end. But there has come, because we are self-centered and self-seeking in America, we seek God for his power. And that's because we hope to use that power to further our ends, whatever they may be. But that's not healthy. It's not really healthy. The best thing is to seek Jesus. Not as an alternative to power, but so that we can find out what he wants. God has no problem with revival. He has no problem with pouring out his spirit on people. He has no problem with giving gifts to people. We need to keep that in mind because sometimes God is approached as though what shall I say? He has to strain himself to do anything. I know, and I've preached about importunity, and I believe in it. But there's another aspect of this that's probably even more important than importunity, that is, persisting. And that is what Lloyd was expressing. Be still and know that I am God. God has a program. How many believe that? He has something in mind for Mount Zion Fellowship. He has something in mind for the United States. He has something in mind for the world. And he has something in mind for you and for me as individuals. It's not vague. It's not open-ended. It's not illy defined. It's not a set of alternatives. It is something that God wants from you and from me, that he wants us to do. And I personally have devoted my life to that. I'm not in the crowd that's saying, oh, God, send revival, send this and that. I want to know what Jesus wants. And reading some of the plans that come down in religious enterprise, I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think they're hearing from God. I think they're trying in their own goodwill and strength and ability to build the kingdom, but they're not. It's as though, and this thought came to me in Bible school. You imagine that, 1948, this thought came to me. I wonder if God has anything definite in mind. Because what I was being taught in Bible school in 1948 was that souls are going to hell, and they're sliding into hell every day, and if we don't get busy and get out there and do something, more souls will slide into hell. That's what was being taught. Well, I can't live like that. I can't live with this kind of a thing. Why, you'd be guilty your whole life thinking, man, you know, I rested today, and while I was resting, 10,000 souls went into hell. I don't know if you're tracking with me or not. Maybe not. But I made a choice. In 1948, I made a choice. And I said, now, God, I can't save the world. There is no way I'm going to do that. I only have a certain amount of time and energy. And I believe that you know what you're doing. It's not that God is up there wishing the kids would do better. I believe you know what you're doing. Help me to know what it is. Well, you might think, so, you know, what's new? What's new is I was going against the whole philosophy of the Bible school and scared to death. I thought, what if I'm wrong? Well, I'll tell you, that was a real issue. And something came to my mind. Someone, and I think it was Shakespeare, certainly not the Bible, says, to thine own self be true. Is that Shakespeare, John?
Yes.
That's Shakespeare? Okay. And I thought, I'm going nowhere in this world unless I do what I believe is right. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The world will never know the difference. I wasn't married. I have no brothers and sisters. So there's no problem here. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm not going to be doing something that I don't believe is right. Well, I feel the same way today. If God doesn't know what he's doing, if he's leaving it up to the churches to work up money, energy, programs, and try to help God out, I tell you, I'm not one of the boys. I believe more fully today, and with a lot more confidence, that I'm not nuts, that God knows exactly what he's doing. And he's control of the world. And where the Bible says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to live righteously, be merciful, and walk humbly with God. And that's it, period. And if I get a chance in the future to teach the saved of the nations, that's what I'm going to teach them. I believe that's the message. God isn't expecting us to go out and save the world from hell. It's as Lloyd prophesied to us. God says, quit the commotion and just let me be God. The churches, by and large, have not done that for 2,000 years. They have assumed, they have a saying, our business is God's business, meaning whatever we decide is right and we do and pray for, that's the kingdom. And I'm telling you, unless I'm cuckoo, that is 180 degrees out from what God is saying. God, I think, personally, God is like the Marine Corps. What does it say in the Marine Corps? They're looking for a few good men. I think God is looking for a few people who will stop the music and just listen to God at what he's saying. And here's where it gets really worrying, worrisome. And this, of course, is what tormented me for so long. But what if he doesn't say anything? What if you're in passivity? What if you're just letting go and letting God, and nothing's going to happen? You think that that is an easy mental situation? It is not. Because I don't personally like being considered a passive loser that somehow missed the train. Now, I have come to the conclusion that God either knows what he's doing or he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's leaving it up to us. And that is a fundamental rock hard. Talk about where the chisel hits the rock. That's it. Does he know what he's doing? Do I dare let go and listen to God and do only what he says? Or do I get busy because the king's business requires haste? Well, you can see the dilemma. But I said, I'm just going to be true to myself. If nothing happens and God doesn't do anything, I bet wrong. Oh, glory. Well, I feel the same way today. I'm not putting my hand on the ark. If it falls in the mud, it falls in the mud. I'm not touching it. Well, so that is what Lloyd was telling us. Be still. Just there in the vernacular, what God is saying is shut up and listen. Maybe, just maybe, I know what I'm doing. It's a real decision. And you have to make it for yourself. Well, I sure haven't beat the world to death. I'm satisfied about that. But I have put out some writings that I think are going to help young people in the future when things get exciting. Learn to trust in God and not in religious works. The power of his resurrection. Notice that what Paul was saying in jail. He wasn't saying, if I could just get released from here, I could go out and start Bible schools and start churches and save people from hell. What is he saying? I'm trying to know Christ. Me, Paul, I'm trying to know Christ. Goal. And the power of his resurrection, which, we talk about the power of healing, that's useful. The power of miracles, that's useful. The power of discernment, that's useful. I'll be glad when God restores the ability to speak in known languages by a miracle. I hope to see that someday. But this is something different. This is not a gift. It is life! You know, if I get excited. I know it's not cool, but I do get excited. Is that all right? Do they do that in the Philippines, get excited once in a while? Well, that's good. Jason says it's cool, so we're all right. John 3:16. Does anybody in here know John 3:16? Russ, do you know John 3:16? What does it say, Russ?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Do you know what we focus on? Everlasting, not perishing. That's all we hear. And we picture ourselves as living forever. Well, I don't know about you, but that to me is not a red hot idea. Especially if it means living as we are now. That does not appeal to me. Maybe it does to you if you're young. But the idea of life, not human life, Not flesh and blood life. Not metabolism. Divine life, the life of God. You can be in heaven and not have eternal life. The angels don't have eternal life. Well, what power do they have? Well, it's a delegated power from God that energizes them. But eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. And no angel has Jesus Christ dwelling in him. No angel. They live by the same energy that moves the universe. The power of God, upholding all things by the word of his power. But that's not eternal life. Eternal life is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. No demon has that. No righteous angel has that. No righteous angel has ever been born again. To be a human being is something extraordinary. Of all the various kinds of creatures in heaven, and we don't know them all, I don't think, none of them, except Christ and people, are called the sons of God in the true sense, not in a generic sense. The angels are sons of God, but they're not born of God. They're created by God. We have been born of God. You know, the least, and I've said this so many times, the least little child down in Darfur, or whatever the name of that place is, in Sudan, starving, being molested, God knows what, has a name that's greater than any angel. And can receive Christ that no angel can. So the goal that is set before us is to be able, while we are trapped in a flesh and blood body with a sinful nature, to allow God to work in us until that nature is replaced with resurrection. Resurrection doesn't mean flying up in the air. It means changing from that which is dead to that which is alive. And we are dead, you know. We are dead. The mortal body is dead. The spirit that's in us is alive because we're righteous because of the blood of Christ. But our body is dead. That's in Romans the 8th chapter. We don't know it, but we're dead. And we're dead as long as we live in the sinful nature. We're dead as long as we give way to our emotions and our desires without respect to the will of God. We're dead. And the only resurrection there is in Christ. And it's more to be desired than anything else. Because the inner has to be resurrected before the outer will be resurrected. And if we don't get the inner resurrected, the outer won't be resurrected when Christ comes. He's not going to put old wine in new bottles. I want to know Christ and the power. Now, we like power. We like the idea of being able to raise the dead, you know. And these things were done in early Pentecost. The limbs were formed. Eyes were formed while people were looking at them and all. That's power. But resurrection is a different kind of power. It's the life of God that enables us to live and do God's will by his power. The power that overcomes death. The power that overcomes the universe, the world. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. The power that delivers us from Satan so that he comes and we can say the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. The righteousness always is a question of power. Young people, you're going to be facing a lot of temptations. And some of them are powerful. They're strong. They just about drive you out of your mind. I've got got to do this. I know I shouldn't, but oh. You ever been that way? Well, there's one thing that can overcome that. And the only thing that can overcome it is the resurrection life. And it can. Galatians 5:16. It can. It can. And it must. Live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The reason that we sin, the reason that we yield to something and we know it's not right, we know the end of it, the consequences are bad, it's hurtful to people and everything. The reason we do that is because we're so much in the flesh. Now, how do you live in the Spirit? Well, you have to be a person, as I've said. You must give some time each day to getting alone with the Lord. You must meditate in His Word. You must keep yourself in the prophetic aura. That is, you're always feeling God's presence. You say, is that possible? Absolutely. And necessary. It's hard if you're given to a lot of things in the world. What I'm talking about comes as death. I know. I understand that. But I'm telling you, that's the true Christian life. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Well, you don't keep saying, Our Father who art in heaven, Our Father who art in heaven, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. You live in the presence of Jesus. You go to a party. Everybody's fooling around. The kids are fooling around. And you're having fun, but you are ready at a moment to stop and talk to Jesus. There's never a time, a point, where you are not able to talk to Jesus. Never. You say, is that possible? It certainly is possible and necessary. But that means, Brother Thompson, I don't know, you're asking me to kind of leave the world. Yes. I'm not asking you to be impractical. I'm not asking you to be antisocial. I'm not asking you to do foolish things or weird things or religious things at all. In fact, you will find that people are attracted to you. Oh, they may protest and say, how come you're not like us? You know, what are you, chicken? Are you mommy's boy? Yeah, did mommy tell her little girl not to do that? You know, you're going to catch that. And, of course, if you're weak, you know, you'll go with it. But if you're walking in Jesus' presence, He'll give you wisdom how to respond without being, you know, get away from me, I'm a Pharisee. Without that. Just, you know, I really don't think we should do that. You know, somebody might get hurt. And I knew a kid that overdosed. I don't want to do that. You know, there's ways that you can say it without saying, leave me, I'm holier than you. And that's a leader. And you'll find people are attracted to you because most people look at the group and they're moved by the group because they're afraid to be different. I hope that's making sense to you. But you can't do that without eternal life, without the Spirit of God. Stay filled with the Spirit. Let's say be filled with the Spirit. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is it possible? Yes, and necessary. Be still and know that I am God. Didn't the Lord say to us through Lloyd that He wants to make His throne in us? And didn't He say there's junk in there? And our sister said she looked at a nice piece of land. It was all filled with junk. They were using it for a junkie. That's what God is talking to us about. He's saying, I want to dwell in you. I want to walk in you. And we say, oh, I'd rather be in the flesh. Well, we're foolish. It's a lousy choice. Because I'm here to tell you, the flesh is nothing but pain. Nothing but pain. There's a Mexican song. I don't know if you've ever heard it, Margaret. It says, we were born crying and we'll die crying. We were born crying and we'll die crying. And it's so with the natural man. Now we're back in Philippians. Wait a minute. Let's look at Galatians 5:17. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Well, people use that to say, that's why I sin, because we all have to do what we don't want to do. But you see, that's not what he meant, because in the 16th verse, he says, if you will live by the Spirit, you won't do this. You won't do it. But you see, we live by the media. Media is getting really interesting now. You can get a cell phone now to track all your friends. That's the truth. Right on your cell phone, and they've got a global position indicator. You can look and say, oh, I wonder where so-and-so is. You know, there it is on your cell phone. Yeah, that's the newest thing. These things keep getting more interesting. And, oh, I got to have a GPS on my cell phone. Oh, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. And it's all death. It's all death. It's going nowhere. What we need is what Paul is saying. Life, life, life. That whosoever lives in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the life of God. All right, back to Philippians. We're looking at the goal here. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings. Well, we don't like that. But I'm going to tell you something. Now, you know, speaking of the Mexican song, we cry when we're born and we cry when we die. Life is not nice. Life simply is not nice. Oh, when I grow up and I get married and have 3 kids and I own my own house, then I'll be happy. Maybe not. Maybe you'll find your hubby's away at unexplained times. All kinds of things go on. One of your children gets involved in the internet and runs off with some beer guzzler from Rochester, New York. All kinds of things arise. Is there any adult in this house that has not had trouble this last week? I don't see any hands. What I'm saying is this. Life at best is a challenge. Would you all agree to that? Amen. To keep soldiering on is a challenge. And we do it for our kids' sake, usually. We just as soon bust up. But for the kids, we stay together. We do it for your sake. And you'll have to do it someday for your kids. What I'm telling you is, the way of the sinner is not easy. So your choice is not between a life that is fun and a life that is gloomy. That's not the choice. The choice is between a challenging life that goes nowhere and a challenging life that goes somewhere. That's the choice. Do you catch that one? You can choose to live in the world and it seems good, but you'll find it's an endless problem. Or you can choose to live in Christ and you'll find out it's an endless problem. But it's going somewhere. See, it's forming you. It's teaching you things you're going to need to know when you die. Shaping your character. Creating a reward for you so that when you die, you don't go in empty-handed. Lay up treasures in heaven so when you get there, you're not broke. Or you can live in the world and you'll have challenges there, but the end is ashes. So anybody with a reasonable amount of brain says, if I'm going to suffer either way, why not go the way that's going to go somewhere? That's the decision I'm making. I think it's a reasonable one. Thank you very much. So what were the sufferings of Christ? He was humiliated. He was rejected by people. You would think the Messiah of Israel would be, you know, a king, a hero and all that. It was one accusation and treachery, and finally he was crucified. The sufferings of Christ. But now where is he? He has all authority and power in heaven and upon the earth. You know, not such a bad deal. So take the sufferings, because you're going to suffer anyway. Unless you're a person without integrity. And then what you do is slip from one situation to another if you're unhappy. Be faithful to no one and end up as a kind of a weasel. Well, you don't want that. And so somehow, will somebody in the church please look at the 11th verse? Please look at verse 11. It is incomprehensible. It doesn't make any sense. It's not preached anywhere. Maybe it shouldn't be in the Bible. How many believe it should be in the Bible? Does anybody believe in it? Stan believes it should be in the Bible. And Liz Durr. They believe it should be in the Bible. But it doesn't make any sense. Now that's a hot one, isn't it? Paul gives us a goal that we don't understand. It's like saying to kids in school, now this is the goal. This is what we must do. Blah, 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 blah. And they say, well, what is that? Well, never mind. It isn't important anyway. That's what we do. Huh? What does it mean? What in the world does the Philippians 3:11 mean, if anything? What do you think it means? Does anybody have any idea what it means? What do you say it means?
I think it means that we're supposed to have the resurrection from the dead in front of us.
What do you say?
I didn't hear. You said you think that it means we're supposed to try to be resurrected from the dead.
Yes, that's what it says, isn't it? I think the problem with our understanding is, first of all, we don't know what resurrection is, and secondly, we think it's just going to happen. When I die, I'll be resurrected someday. Old Tony will stand up on his feet, probably with a beard. He'll be resurrected someday, somehow, somewhere, whatever it means. But to make it a goal, and to say you have to attain to it. You'll notice the translations never say attain. They say attain to. The difference is you attain to something that's already in existence. That's the difference between attain and attain to. You attain to something that's already there. The resurrection is already there. The resurrection is Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. Now, why do we have to attain to it? Because we have a sinful nature. And our sinful nature drives us into all kinds of things that we know are wrong, and we don't know what to do about it. And that, you know what that means? That means that death is working in us. Not life, but death. Because those things are death. Eh? So, if you're going to attain to divine life in your personality, then you have to overcome your desire to sin. And you overcome that by what? Living in the Spirit. You can't do it by your determination. People go out and say, well, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. That was nasty and that was wrong, and I'll never do it again. And you know what happens? They do it again. You have to get God's power. Just leave it on. If you leave it on, yeah, that's easier for me. Okay, You have to get God's power if you're going to say no to things that you want and crave with all your body. You're going to have to get power outside of yourself to help you not to do it. And you get that power by praying. You say, well, how can I pray without ceasing? How am I going to do my homework when I'm praying without ceasing? Well, when you're doing your homework, try praying that God will help you, and I think you'll be amazed. I think you'll be absolutely dumbfounded at how much better you do. And try doing that with everything else that you do. You're working on the car. Say, well, how can I pray when I'm working on the car? Well, it's better than swearing. Because you can't get it to work. Pray. How many believe the Lord knows how to fix a car? Well, then why are you wasting all your time? Why don't you ask the Lord to help you? And so on with every project in life. You keep this going all the time. Well, you heard me say this over and over and over, but I hope you know it's extremely practical. I'm not talking religious talk. I'm telling you how you live if you're going to attain to the resurrection. What shall I say? You know, sometimes we say, I have an inner nature. Well, you know, it's like we say heaven is up. To the Chinese, heaven is that way. It's up. To us, it's up. So something's wrong with that. So we come to the conclusion that heaven is everywhere. And wherever you are on the earth, it's always up. So it's the same way with your inner nature. It isn't that your inner nature is inside of you. I don't believe that. Your body's here, but your inner nature is with you. It's another person that's with you. So here you are walking around. If you could see yourself in the spirit realm, you're a person apart from your body. You'll often hear people say that. They'll say, well, don't look at me. I may not be so great on the outside, but on the inside I'm really beautiful. Well, there's truth in that, but it isn't that it's inside of them. It's with them. See, we have a personality with us, and it's probably much larger than our physical body. Why do I say that? Because God dwells in it. And how could the fullness of God dwell in this little thing? We must be a lot larger than we know. So this person that we really are and is going accompanies this body of ours, is victimized, is subject to the desires in our body. It's bound by them. And it does things that are not right and knows they're not right. But when we are filled with the Spirit, we begin to tap into life. And it comes into who we really are. Our body's still dead because of sin. But it comes into who we really are. And we begin to change. We're not like we used to be. You know, how many know what we become? A new creature. Is our body a new creature? It's we, as an individual, become a new creation. And see, what's changing is from this dead person that's going around until a person that has the life of God. Well, when the Lord comes, if you who you really are is the life of God, then He'll give you a body to go with it. And this body will be clothed over, actually. This body will be clothed over, the gold on the wood. I don't know about you, but I don't want to face the Lord. And here I've got my personality, such as it is all bent and disfigured with self-will and lust and everything else. I don't want that. Do you want that? Go before Jesus. He's not going to put a new body on that. So we got to get busy. To attain to something that's already there. What's already there? resurrection. We have to attain to it. And that's our goal in life. And for that reason, we don't get so involved in the American culture. One more scripture and I'm out of here. All right. Romans 6, 22. I've read this before. Stan has it memorized. Romans 6, 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. Now, how many of us have been set free from sin and are slaves to God? Are you? Have you been set free from sin and are a slave to God? Are you doing God's will? Are you a slave to God? Or are you still sinning? The benefit you reap leads to what? Where does holiness come from? When you're free from sin and a slave to God, it results in what? You become free from sin and a slave to God, and it results in what? Holiness. Come on, people. Good night. I know it's Sunday morning. You could still think. And what is the result of holiness? Not just eternal, but life. God's life. And then the next verse says, the wages of sin, that is, if you keep on sinning. Now, this chapter is addressed to Christians, not to anybody else. If you keep on sinning, what happens? What does that mean? You die physically? This person that we can't see, who is the real you, that person is not in contact with God. They have lost the presence of God, even though they were a Christian. Because this is written to Christians. If you keep on sinning, this real you, is not going to have the blessing of God. But it says the gift of God is what? See, and we have preached that, meaning accept Christ and here's the free gift. That is not true to the chapter. It means that if you overcome sin through the power of the Spirit of God, you will receive as a result gift. The gift of life. Did you earn it? No, you didn't earn it. We can't earn eternal life. We don't earn it. We have to work. We have to attain to it. You don't earn it. You attain to it. God, mankind, we rebelled against God in the beginning. And God says, all right, I'll give my son to forgive their sins. And now I'm going to give them a chance to eat of the tree of life that I kept them from in Eden. I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to give them this gift. But in order to receive that gift of eternal life, we have to attain to it by coming to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and share in his sufferings. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's awful weak. Whew. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's better. Shall we stand? That's more like Mount Zion fellowship. Lord, we thank you. Hey, when I'm praying, I get nervous if you don't pray. So pray out loud. It will do you good. Huh? Here we go. Lord, we praise you for your... We praise you for your goodness, Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you for giving us access to the tree of life. Praise your name. We can be filled with Jesus. Hallelujah. Filled with Jesus. Filled with God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, in the days to come, help us to be still from the clamor of the world and hear what you have to say to us, Lord, as an individual, so that we can make progress in eternal life. Press into eternal life. grasp eternal life, graze on eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for that gift, Lord. Thank you for that opportunity to return to what was lost in the beginning by our forefathers. Thank you, it's wonderful, Lord. You're so good to mankind. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works and His goodness to the children of men. Amen, Lord. We do. You're good, Lord. You're good to us. You're good to us. You're good to us, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name. How good you are. Now, let's go from here in the presence of God. You're clean through the Word. And you can do it. You can resist the devil by the power of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. That's it.